In our remembrance of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are following a series of messages under the theme Epiphany. Epiphany, which is a Greek word meaning appearance, and a word that the Holy Spirit uses to describe Christ's coming in the flesh. Our passage today is found in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. I speak to you today on the appearance of God's kindness and love. We should notice that in verse 3, Titus 3, verse 3, the passage begins with the word for. And so we're going to be given a reason for something, a reason to practice the exhortations of God's word in verses 1 and 2. In verses 1 and 2, God had told us that we are to be obedient to magistrates or to civil rulers. Put them in mind, Paul says to Titus, to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. And then, in verse 2, God gives us the exhortation that we are to be kind to our neighbors. To speak evil, says the apostle, of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing meekness to all men. We are not to revile another person. We are not to be quarrelsome, contentious, soon angry, but we are to yield personal advantage to help the needy and to be considerate of the fallen. And this was especially applicable to Titus as he was laboring among the Cretans. And according to Paul's letter to Titus, the Cretans were notorious as being a quarrelsome and contentious people. And so the apostle brings to us, or God brings to us, two exhortations. Be obedient to the authority over you, and be kind to your neighbor. Why? The apostle, the Holy Spirit, gives us the reason in the appearing, the epiphany, the appearing of God's kindness and love in our Savior's birth. In other words, the Word of God is saying, consider yourself, just exactly what kind of a person are you? How do you stand before God? And then to consider that the kindness and love of our God appeared toward us in the gift of His Son. Then we too must live in kindness and love, one for each other. When our Lord Jesus Christ then appeared in our flesh on that glorious night long ago in Bethlehem, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. The word appeared is epiphany, a word which means to shine out, so that the love and the kindness of God shone out of the gloom and the darkness of a world of sin. It sparkled. It became very apparent. No, there was not an earthly glow of light out of the manger. It was not the glow of some kind of mystical light, and it's not the glow that is glamorized in Christmas cards and all of the ideas of a warm Christmas setting and a cozy fireplace. No, you see, you need to have eyes, new eyes, to see this light. You must be given faith, the gift of God, and your eyes must be opened by a divine operation of the Holy Spirit to be able to see the light of God's love and kindness. For what appeared in Bethlehem was something of God, God's own virtue shone out of the stable. But apart from God's work of grace in your heart, you don't see those virtues, and when you do, you hate them. It is the grace of God which opens our eyes to see that when Christ was born, the soft and comforting virtues of the kindness and love of God towards His church shone out brilliantly. The kindness and love of God are bound together in the text that we're considering and throughout all of Scripture. Love is the cause of kindness, and kindness is the action of love. God's love and kindness are always bound together. They look upon God's own heart toward his elect, toward those who he has chosen freely of his grace. As he is moved toward them and sees us in our misery and wretchedness and impotence. God's love and kindness is the soft and piteous tenderness of God's heart directed toward those whom he has chosen, who of ourselves are hardened, wretched, cruel, fallen sinners. And it's God's thoughtfulness. In his kindness and love, he thinks upon us for our good. Don't we say that to each other? How kind that was of you. We mean how thoughtful that was of you. So that the kindness and love of God refer to that virtue of our God as he is tender, soft-hearted, thoughtful to the ones whom he has chosen, who are in themselves utterly hopeless and vile sinners. And it is the virtue of God that the Scripture presents as being all-sufficient for the believer. Psalm 63, verse 3. The loving kindness of my God is more than life to me. How can our hearts remain dejected and hopeless when we entertain the thought of God's loving kindness toward us, a loving kindness which faileth never? We read this, for instance, in Psalm 42, verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. There the psalmist is reasoning his way out of depression. His soul has been cast down within him. He is far from God's house and God's people. He is in the midst of a land of enemies and strangers and different tongues. His comfort? The Lord has commanded his loving kindness. He's given the command for his loving kindness to be with the psalmist always. We have a similar thing in Psalm 48, verse 9. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God. And there the psalmist says that the joyful child of God, as he goes forth to worship, finds a great motivation and impulse to worship God when he begins to think of the loving kindness of God to us. The loving kindness of God appeared when Jesus was born. This is what caused the shepherds to return, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, even as it was told to them of the angel. This is what Mary pondered in her heart that night. She turned it over and over and over again, don't you? What would you expect, if you turn to Titus chapter 3, what would you expect verse 4 to say after you read verse 3? Verse 3 said that we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful and hating one another. What would you expect to follow that verse? Wouldn't you expect this, verse 4, to read, and God justly damned them for their awful treason, horrible perverseness, and for the sin that they had committed? And if we did read that, then all we could say is this: true and righteous are thy judgments, O Lord God Almighty. But after all of that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, toward man. And again, the idea is mankind, or all of that, all of those chosen from mankind by God's eternal election. For the apostle is talking about salvation. And salvation is not an attempt on God's part. It's not an offer on God's part. It's not simply that God says, I have this salvation and I would like the hand of the dead sinner to please accept it. Oh no. God's intentions are particular. They are of grace. And therefore, the loving kindness of God appeared toward fallen man, man who of himself is fallen from God, man who has been chosen, those men who have been chosen by the grace of God unto salvation. Toward them, the kindness and love of God appeared when Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, was in the manger. There was the kindness of God. He gave his Son. The mission of the Son was our help. It was thoughtful He came to take us from the groveling of sin and from the dunghill of our misery to a palace of fellowship and friendship. It was kind. God did not need our friendship. He is the eternally blessed one. Yet he gave his own Son in our flesh. For those who had betrayed him, for those who had spoken evilly of him, for those who have ruined his gift and challenged his sovereignty and transgressed his righteousness and blasphemed his name. Isn't it amazing? The kindness and the love of God shone forth when he gave his Son in Bethlehem for his children. For us. For the ones who are described in verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers or different lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now, if you have your Bible open and you're looking at Titus 3, verse 3, I ask you a simple question. Who is verse 3 talking about? Talking about child predators, movie stars who get married 4, 5, 6 times looking for true love. No, the Holy Spirit is not talking about them in verse 3. Well, is the Holy Spirit talking about the Cretans? I mentioned earlier in the message that the Cretans were noted as the most contentious lot. So is the Holy Spirit talking about those people, those Cretans who formed a church back then and who were known to speak evil of other people and degrade authority and were quarrelsome and explosive and brawlers? And the answer to that is no. The Holy Spirit technically is not even talking, first of all, about them. If we want to be strictly technical, the we refers to Paul and Titus. For we ourselves, this is Paul's letter to Titus. It refers to Paul and to Titus. You see, the Holy Spirit is talking about ourselves. As children of God, what we are in ourselves. For we ourselves, that is those who are recipients of the free grace of God, we ourselves are foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful and hating one another. That's what the Word of God is saying to us. We are being exhorted by God's word, of course, that in Christ Jesus we are to repent and to be gentle and meek. We are to mature in Jesus Christ. We are not to be contentious. We are being exhorted to see the wonderful grace of God in the appearing of his Son, Jesus Christ. God's love and kindness appeared to us who were totally undeserving. This is who we are by nature. We were sometimes foolish, that is, senseless, unable to discern the reality of God, unable to discern the reality of his judgments. We were disobedient, that is, an innate rebellion against God is within our hearts. We will not have him to rule over us. We are deceived or deluded. We are blind to what is behind our own nose. Our own sins. We would serve divers lusts and pleasures, that is, of ourselves we would be enslaved to passions and to lusts. We would live in malice and envy. That would be our inward attitude. That would be our code of life. And we are hateful and hating one of another. That's really the summary of it all. By nature, we hate. We are full of hate. That is the description of what we are. And we cannot change that in ourselves. Only God's mercy can do that. That's the gospel. You cannot become a better person by yourself. Look at verse 5 that follows immediately. after our passage today. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration. You see, God does not find in us anything which he ought to love, but he loves us because of his own namesake. If there is one drop of good in us, if there is one impulse of repentance found in us, if there is a surge of love within us, if there is a desire of compassion and forgiveness toward others in us, it is all because of the amazing gift of God in sheer mercy. And you and I cannot give ourselves credit for it. Now, we who fully believe and must believe and ought to believe these things as being true of ourselves, in ourselves, do we not stand speechless before God's kindness and love in giving his Son for us? What kindness and what love of God! And then there will be a result, and that result is implied. We will manifest the kindness and the love of God. That love of God and kindness will now begin to appear, to shine forth, to be reflected out of our own lives. His kindness and his love are powers to change us, to crucify that ferocious nature, and to make us humble members of the Church of Jesus Christ. A wonderful change takes place. And that change takes place through the coming of our Savior. Through the grace and through the love and through the kindness of God revealed in our Savior. It takes us who are of ourselves hateful and proud and filled with all types of evil. And it changes us by the grace of God so that we turn and we desire to live in true love with our neighbor, and true submission to all authority that is over us. God's grace that appeared in Jesus Christ makes us kind one to another. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted." We read in 1 Corinthians 13, "Love suffereth long and is kind." We read in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, "Your Father is kind unto the unthankful and evil." The wonderful grace of God, the kindness and the love of God has appeared in the birth of Jesus Christ. And that kindness and love of God is powerful, saving us and renewing us, so that now we too are kind. That means that it is that virtue of grace in us which makes us friendly, which makes the individual child of God attractive, which leaves behind a profitable and edifying atmosphere, which encourages others unto love and affection in the church and home and family. That we are made kind by the grace of God means that we are given the ability to bear. We are not inclined to react with harshness, but rather with kindness, and we become thoughtful one of another, considerate. Are you kind? Girls, are you kind? Are you kind to your sister? Or are you catty? Do you bristle? Or are you kind? Are you the kind of person who's safe to be with? Boys, are you kind? Are you thoughtful? Do you show this forth in your very deed and word one to each other? And not only kind, but love. For we cannot separate, as we said, the kindness and the love of God. The love of God, you know, always humbles us. It's a great mystery to us. We ask the question, why would God love me? We cannot find the answer to that question except in the eternal heart of God. He has loved us for his name's sake. There it is. And as God has shown the loving kindness of his heart toward us in the gift of his Son, and in that gift of his Son he has redeemed us and made us his own, then we too are given to love, love God and love one another. And then we repent. We repent of our sins. We do not look to ourselves for the reason for God to have loved us, but we look to Him and to what He has done, and we bow before Him in humble worship, resolved that we too shall live in all kindness and love, one to each other. The wonderful love and kindness of God appeared in the birth of the Savior. When you see that, by His love and mercy, you will arise and you will live in kindness and love to the praise of His name. Let's pray. Father, we again thank Thee for Thy word, and we would ask for Thy blessing upon the word of God to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.